We say we try to see Krishna's hand in everything. But nevertheless, many things that happen to us, especially if we're not initiated, we're making some distinction between those that are initiated and those that are not initiated. Those that are initiated, they have some formal connection with Krishna through Guru. And so we generally tend to think that those that are initiated are more directly under some control of Krishna. As Krishna himself says that in the Bhagavad Gita. It says, Mahatmanas timam parta daivam prakritim ashrita vajantyam anyamanaso gyatva buddhadam avyam. He says the Mahatmas, Mahatma means one who, a great soul means one who's taken diksha. And they're under the daivi prakriti, the internal energy, which is antaranga shakti, means bhakti. Bhakti is samvit and vadini combined. So when one takes and receives bhakti lata bija, then he's engaged in bhakti or devotional service. So he comes under daivi prakriti. This is transcendental energy, spiritual energy, antaranga shakti, surup shakti, through guru and through parishads, parampara. So now he's like an achyuta gotra. He's in the family of Krishna. So naturally, you look out more for your family members than you do for the people across the street. The unrelated people that live in another house across the street, you don't have so much interaction with them or concern or overlooking their matters or affairs. But your immediate mother and father and brother and sister, you're very much aware and implicated often in their direct dealings and activities. So in the same way, Krishna is also directly implicated in overseeing the activities of his surrendered devotees. Saranam ridya mayam, saranam ridya tvaham. Krishna tells Ambarish, or rather, he tells Durvasa Muni in the Ambarish story, he says, you should understand, saranam ridya mayam, saranam ridya tvaham. I am in the heart of the sadhus, and the sadhus are in my heart. So he's making a distinction. He doesn't say sarvajana, sarvajana ridya mayam. Sarvajana means all living entities, all people, sarvajan. Like we have mahajan and sarvajan. No, Krishna doesn't say that. He says sarunam, those that are sadhus. And a real sadhu is a devotee. So therefore, there is some distinction between one who's taking diksha and not diksha. So the devotee is taking diksha, he really tries to see Krishna's hand because he's trying to move everything, serve devotees and do everything for Krishna's service. And someone who's aspiring to take diksha or trying to be somewhat Krishna conscious without initiation, he can also try to see Krishna's hand in everything and to see everything's Krishna's mercy. But it may be harder to see. It may be harder to see because he's still under this, moving under his karma. Loss and gain, honor and dishonor, fame and infamy, these are all the fruits of karma. For the non-initiated, because he's still in the karmic cycle. He hasn't severed that karmic cycle. So your distress or your loss of money that may simply be, was destined. And whether Krishna had anything to do with it, I doubt it. But it's very progressive to try to see God in everything. Because Krishna is instructing all human beings. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I never lost to him, and he's never lost to me. This is in Gita. So to see like that, you have to have love of God. The gopis see like that. Yamam pashyati sarvatra sarvam jame pashyati. 6th chapter of Gita, verse 30. They see Krishna everywhere and see Krishna in everything. This is the gopis' viewpoint. Gopi bhav. Their purity of love is so intense that they can't be without Krishna for a second. Even the moment that it takes to blink their eyes, they curse the Creator. They curse Brahma by being inefficient. Creator. Because our eyes blink, and for the blink of an eye, we can't see Krishna, and that's a great loss for us. I can't imagine a greater loss than not seeing Krishna for the blink of an eye, the gopis say. Better we die. Why weren't we born as fish? They say like that. Why weren't we born as fish? Because fish have no eyelids. Fish eyes are never blinking. Meenakshi. Their eyes are always open. So if they had Meenakshi, fish eyes, and they could see Krishna without blinking, without cessation, without interruption. So, I don't know, you lost your money and that's that. If you can recover it, that's also good. Because sometimes when they cancel a flight or you miss a flight, you can get the money back also. But whenever you do anything good, you get some results. So helping, if you help someone, you help a poor person or you help anyone, you get a return. Punya karma gives punya phal. And punya karma takes many shapes and forms. Giving money, giving help, giving medicine, helping someone across the street, feeding someone, sheltering someone, giving land, medicine, marrying someone's daughters, helping someone's daughters get married, kanyadan. These are all punya phal, punya karma. So you're no loss in doing good things. And if you're always chanting Hare Krishna, then you're always connected with Krishna. So Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, here's a 5,000 rupees for a ticket. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you lost your ticket. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I lost my 5,000 rupees. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, please give me another ticket. Okay, 5,000 rupees more. Okay, 5,000 rupees. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Here, my friend, here's your ticket. You go to Bombay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, this is the beginning of all auspiciousness, Shubhada, chanting Hare Krishna. So if everything we do is accompanied by chanting Hare Krishna, we'll be successful. Even in the line of bhakti, Jiva Goswami says in Sandarvas that whatever you do, you must accompany it with chanting Hare Krishna. Even if you do Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnas, Padan, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vishnupada, Sevanam, Archanam, Mandanam, Dasyam. If you do puja or prayer or remembrance or serve the Lord or make friendship with the Lord or serve the Lord's devotees, whatever you do, you should chant, you should join that with chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Maha mantra, then it will be fruitful and be successful. Otherwise, it may be fraught with aparads or mistakes or some fault. But this chanting of Hare Krishna will ensure that this action will be beneficial and acceptable to the Lord. Because this is what he likes more than anything, is to hear his name chanted. He likes music. He's a musician and a lover. So he loves music about himself. He's the greatest lover and the greatest musician. So if he sings songs, which is music, about him, then he likes the music and he likes the subject matter, because it's him. Krishna, it's an interesting thing. They say Krishna means all attractive. Everyone's attracted. But Krishna not only means he who everyone's attracted to, but he who is also attracted to himself. This is the beauty of Krishna. This is the real fullest meaning of Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. He attracts everyone, even himself. And it's in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. He was walking in Dwarka and he saw a crystal pillar. And he looked inside and he said, oh, who is this? He saw his reflection in the crystal pillar. Who is this handsome man? Oh, he's so beautiful. Oh, there must be so many girls after him. And then Krishna could understand that why there are so many princesses, you know, coming behind him. 16,000 at one shot, 16,100 princesses were locked in the cave by Narakasura. Of course, that just made Krishna's job easier, because this Narakasura, he gathered up all these princesses, because otherwise Krishna would have, as he won those eight queens, Mitravinda and Satya, Mitravinda, and Kalindi, and all those different queens, he had to contest with shooting an arrow through a wheel and wrestling with these wild bulls and all these different contests, just to pick up eight of his queens. And without any effort, he picked up, you know, 16,100 for the price of one. And he just went to one palace. He went to one palace and he cleaned some cave or something, some cave somewhere, and he cleaned out 16,000. Otherwise, he would have to go to 16,100 different kingdoms and deal with 16,100 different finicky kings. Have some crazy idea about how to marry their, give away their daughter. Well, you have to shoot an arrow. You have to look at the reflection in this thing and shoot an arrow through the stuffed fish in the ceiling. And you have to wrestle these seven bulls with your bare hands and all kinds of crazy things just to pick up a princess. So Narakasura did a good service because Krishna cleaned out 16,000. Because there's nothing more he likes to get than princesses. Pretty girls. Can you imagine getting 16,100 in one shot? You can knock on one door and say, oh, you have some princess to be married? Yeah, I have 16,100. And then as soon as he walked in, they all said, wow! Look at this guy, you know. We want him, and we don't want anybody else in the world but him. So then he said, okay, let's go. And he put him on his chariot and brought him back to Dwarka. Imagine riding in the town. Hey, Mom, look what I bought. Hey, Mom, look what I bought home. Krishna, what did you bring? Well, I got some new daughter-in-laws for you. Devaki, because that's his mother, right? So the acharyas say that Devaki is only one. There's Devaki and Vasudeva. But in every palace, Krishna has his wives. And the Indian custom is that you always live with your mother and father, the boy. So there were 16,108 Devakis, and there were 16,108 Vasudevas, and like this. Because in every palace, there had to be, because he had his grandsons, and he had his children in each palace from each queen, and they had to have their grandmother. It's not like there's only one grandmother, Devaki, and Krishna's children, they only get to come and see them they get to see their grandmother every 16,108 days. Grandma Devaki comes to their house, 16,000 days. How many years is that? 16,000.
I don't know.
50 years? 50 times?
50, yeah.
So you get to see your grandmother every 50 years. It's Kali Yuga, you only live to be 100, so you get to see your grandmother twice, so that's going to be a drag when it's your birthday. You don't get any presents from your grandmother. You only get two shots before you die. And your second, and first time in 50 years, she may be still alive. But your second shot, she's going to be dead. When you're 100, your grandmother's going to be well and gone. So you only get to see your grandmother once in your whole life and get a birthday gift once from your grandmother. That's a change-up. That's not a good proposal. So therefore, the acharyas explain that as Krishna can expand in unlimited forms, his devotees and parishads also can expand in unlimited forms to serve the cause of his pastimes. So this is the beauty of Krishna. There's no loss, there's no diminution. Only.
Which book are we?
This may be in Brihad Bhagavatamrita or Lagu Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami or Rupa Goswami, Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Sometimes I forget, but it seems likely I remember reading it there. I certainly read it in one of our Acharya's books and comments, but sometimes I can't sort out exactly the reference. In Jiva Dharma, the point is made, but that's a specific point that I mentioned, but the point is made, that directly point is made, is Krishna can expand in unlimited forms. Similarly, his devotees and parishads can also expand in unlimited forms to serve him. Just like Krishna expands into Balaram, then Balaram expands into Sankarshan, Sankarshan expands into Chaturvyuha, Chaturvyuha, that Mul Sankarshan expands into Purushavatar, and the Purushavatar is Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya, Shirdakshaya Vishnu. Then Mahavishnu expands into unlimited living entities, injects into Pradhan, the Jivas, the Tasta Jivas, and then they expand. So expansions, and all those expansions are simply to serve Krishna, either favorably or unfavorably. The Jivas and the conditioned state or unfavorably, but they're still serving Krishna's energy, but not in a favorable posture. And then, so Krishna's expanding like that, and then Krishna himself expands, and of course into Vasudeva of the Chaturvyuha, and then so many avatars or Vishnu avatars. But then, so Krishna's expanding, but then Radharani's also expanding. Because Radharani expands into Kayavyuha, all the gopis, Asasakis, then all the Manjris, then she expands into the queens of Dwarka, then she expands into the Lakshmis of Vaikuntha, and then she expands into the demigoddesses. Those are also expansions of Radharani. Satya and Uma, Parvati, they're also expansions of Radharani. So it's just, they keep on expanding like that. Narada Muni has so many expansions. One expansion is always in the Vaikuntha, another expansion he takes birth as a Sudrani, son of a Sudrani, and has that pastime. Another one he's traveling and preaching. So all these different forms are there. So this is the point. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the same book, Jiva Dharma, says even an individual jiva can have two sarups. That's just a start. You have one sarup in Gaur Leela, one sarup in Krishna Leela. You can be a Kaishor Brahman in Gaur Leela, 12 and a half years old, and be a Brahman serving Gauranga and Nityanavadrip and Dasyabhav and Sakyabhav. Or you can be a Kishori Gopi, Manjari Gopi, Saki, Nitya Saki, Pran Saki, 12, 13 years old, serving Lord Lita and Rupa Manjari and Rajagokul. And Madhurya Bhav, Parakya Bhav, that's only two.
Simultaneously.
Even Vishnu Chakravarti explains in Sarada Darshini, I know this specifically because we worked on this book, he explains that when Uddhava came to Vrindavan from Mathura carrying a message from Krishna for the gopis, Then there were two Nanda Maharajas and two Yashodas. One was in Viparlamba, one was in Sambhog. And there were two of everyone. There were two cows. There was one cow was having to move, that Krishna was there, and she was, her tail was up in the air, and she was giving milk, and she was healthy. And there was another, same cow, was all skinny and wasn't drinking, and there was no milk in her milk bag, and her tail was hanging down, and there was all hair falling out. And there was one Nanda Baba was all happy and singing. Another Baba was just crying in the forest, hadn't changed his clothes, and his house, palace was all full of cobwebs and dust and stones and dirt. This is pretty remarkable. So at one point when he entered, he saw the Sambhog, all the gopis feeling, yes, Krishna's coming back from the cow eating pasture, he's here, and they're singing and waiting for his arrival. And everything's very happy. And then the next moment, a few days later, then he saw that everybody's in separation. And the gopis weren't singing, the cows weren't happy, and no one was happy, and everyone was crying in separation. And this is not different moods, there's actually two different Yashodas and two different Nandas. So it's really multidimensional, or unlimited dimensions in the spiritual world. Whereas our mind only has three dimensions, length, width, and depth. And even the small topics we discuss are so deep, it splits our mind in half. Definitely have to have broad vision. You have to expand it, have an expandable hard drive. An expandable heart drive. to drive your heart forward, you have to add a few more gears. Fifth gear is not enough. It only gets you to Bhur, then you have to go to Bhuva, then Swa, then you have to cross over the Karna Samudra, then you have to go through Vaikunthas, and then you have to cross over Ayodhya, and then you have to cross Dwarka, then you have to cross Mathura, then you have to cross Goloka Vrindavan, because there's two brudges. There's an Aishwarya Braj and there's a Madhurya Braj. Then you have to enter the Madhurya Braj. So you have to have a lot of hard gear, like these tractor trailers, these semi-tractor trucks. If you ever hitchhike on a highway, they have these big these tractor-trailer trucks. It's like a trailer, which carries all the goods, and they call it a tractor in America. It's a big truck. You call it a lorry or something, lorry. And it has like 13 gears. And it's 7 gears, low gears, and 5 high gears. And the guy's going up a hill or something, he goes, he's like shifting so many times. This gear and that gear. And I go, what are you doing? He said, how many gears? He said, yeah, because it's a heavy load. I'm carrying 50 tons in the back. And this. So we need about 20 hard gears to get to go back home, back to Godhead. Change gears. We thought we were cruising along in second gear, and then someone threw some sand in our crankcase, some stones in our crankcase, and it blew our transmission. And then we didn't know where someone came and said, do you know it's like this? Huh? What? Oh my God, I never heard that. I never read that. Is it really like that? Oh, I can't believe it. Oh my God, my mind, I gotta digest that for a while. I can't believe it. I can't accept it. I have to discuss this with some other people, some more reliable authorities. So this is progress is a continuous series of acceptance and elimination. Elimination and acceptance. That means progress. If there's no elimination, then you can't accept. And if there's no acceptance, there's no progress. Like, for example, if you get in your car, you have a really nice parking space right in front of your apartment. You were lucky that time. When you came home from work and you didn't have to park far away, you found a place on the street right in front of your place. You said, well, I got a good spot. So, but now when you come out in the morning, you have to go to work. Drive to work, 1 hour to work. Now, if you want to drive to work, you have to eliminate that parking spot. You have to give up that parking spot and accept the piece of the road. Accept the piece of the road. Put your car out on the road to make progress to your goal and the destination of your job. So if you're not willing to eliminate, if you're attached to that parking spot and say, I'm going to sit in this car, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay here all day. This is a good spot. It's very close to my apartment. I don't have to walk very far. It's very safe. No one will steal my car, rip off my hubcaps. And I'm not going anywhere. So then, okay, fine. Then the boss calls you up on the mobile. Hey, guess what? You're fired. So no progress. So no elimination, acceptance, then there's progress. So we have so many ideas that we hold on to, and we have to eliminate them and accept the new ideas to make progress in any field, and even material education, what to speak of spiritual knowledge. Our German philosopher Hegel said, you have to die to live. Die to live, die to live, die to live. Sridhar Maharaj is so fond of quoting this phrase throughout his lectures and books. You have to die to live, you have to die to live. You have to die to live. Old conceptions have to die. Live in the Krishna conception, absolute reality. You know, like that, he spoke so beautifully. So poetically and so realized. And he wrote so many Sanskrit poems and verses and songs glorifying Krishna and the devotees. There's one that they sing in the Gaudiya Math. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he wanted it sung in every Gaudiya Math, which they do. It's in glorification of himself by Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj. But Bhaktisiddhanta really appreciated it. And I mean, Prabhupada never introduced it in ISKCON, but it's really beautifully written. It's just Sanskrit in the translation. It's called Sri Prabhupada Padma Stavaka. It's like this song, Vraja Krishna Nidhim, Vraja Raja Nidhim, you know that song. Sujanar Buddha Radita Bada Yugam Yuga Dharma Durandara Patravaram Paradabhaya Dayaka Puja Padam Pranamami Sada Prabhupada Padam. It's really beautiful.
They sang it this year in the Bhaktisiddhanta Vidyapeetham in
Nanjangal.
Yeah.
Somebody nice Bhajan person?
Yeah.
Bengali type.
One of Brahmacharis
was
nice.
It was like, yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, the tune itself is very nice. Vraja Krishna Nidhim Vraja Raja Sutam Vraja Krishna Nidhim Vraja Raja Sutam. But that's the Sanskrit. He wrote in Sanskrit so many poems and songs, and he has a whole song called Manjusha, Bhajan Manjusha. Many songs he wrote. This translation of this verse glorifying Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. Oh, Srila Prabhupada, your beautiful lotus feet are cherished by millions and millions of the purest and most qualified devotees. And you are the most competent personality to preach the recognized process for this error. Your sacred lotus feet are adorable as they openly grant fearlessness and bestow the highest benediction to all living entities. I eternally offer my respects unto that charming effulgence that shines forth from the radiant lotus toe tips of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. Nija sevakata rakaran jividam virutatita hunkrita singhavaram varanagata balisha shanda padam pranamami sada prabhupada padam. Pranamami sada prabhupada padam. Like the charming moon which pleases its orbiting stars, you are surrounded by your intimate disciples and are fulfilling their heart's desires. Your lion-like roar causes the envious to tremble and quickly flee, while your tender toes gracefully bestow the ultimate benefit for the innocent. Your tender toes gracefully bestow the ultimate benefit for the innocent. It's shanda padam. Varana agata balisha. Varana means benediction or boon. Varana agata balisha. Balisha means like a balak.